Thanks, you guys. Well, hey, again, good morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. My name is George Watson, and I have the pleasure of being the pastor here. And we're really glad that you chose to spend a portion of your weekend with us. We are in the midst, we're bringing home a series that we have been in this summer, looking at a book by Louis Giglio called Goliath Must Fall. And the premise of this book is it looks at the epic story that we find in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel between David and Goliath. It was an epic story about a giant and a little guy, and how that little guy faced the giant and conquered the giant. Most of us, if you grew up in church, you've heard the story of David and Goliath. Let me set it up for you. They're at the Valley of Elah. The armies of the Philistines are on one side up on the hill, and the armies of Israel are on the other side of the hill. And for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath, this giant, comes down to the valley and he taunts the armies of Israel. And he says, come and fight me. Just one person, come and fight me. If you win, we will be your slaves. But if we win, you will be our slaves. Well, for 40 days and 40 nights, this scenario played itself out over and over and over again. No one would give up their strategic position up on the hill, because if they did that, it was for sure defeat for them, because they had the advantage to be up on the hill. And so again, for 40 days and 40 nights, this battle got really comfortable. The armies of Israel would come out, they'd get ready for battle, they'd rally the troops, they'd be excited, they'd go to their edge of the hill, and they'd look over, and there's Goliath down there taunting them again. And they just laid there. And they refused to come down because they knew that they would be defeated. And as we've been looking at the story of David and Goliath, many of us grew up in church, and we have pictured ourselves to be David. And we've heard the story, hey, you're David, go and conquer your giants. You can defeat those things in front of you, those giants in your life. But the position that Louis Giglio had posed in his book, Goliath Must Fall, is that we are not, in fact, David, but Jesus is David. And the picture that we get from the Old Testament is God wants to fight our battles for us. Yes, he gives us tools and things to do, but the battle actually is a battle that our God wants to enter for us, to slay the giants before us. Truth be told, we all have giants in our lives. We have giants, we have things that get in between us experience and living in freedom and abundance. Things that keep us from being all that God created us to be. And the premise is this, that if we want to be a person of great faith, with a great dream and a great life, you do the things that David did to allow God to defeat the giants in your life. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. What are some of the giants that are keeping you from experiencing the freedom and the abundance that God has for you? During the midst of this series, we've been looking at a few of those. We looked at the giant of fear and anger and comfort. But the reality is there are a whole lot of giants. As a matter of fact, the list is pretty endless of the giants that get in the way of us experiencing freedom and the abundance that God has for us. I kind of put together a list up there as I was working on this series, and I actually had to stop because the more I looked at this idea of what are the giants in our lives, the more I realized that they're really too numerous to list them all. But I want to ask you, as we begin this morning, what is the giant that is hindering you from experiencing the freedom and the abundance that God has for you? Is it fear or anger? Is it comfort or is it rejection? Is it an addiction? Now, addictions are not just drugs and alcohol. The truth is that probably all of us have some type of an addiction. It could be to video games or shopping. It could be to relationships or internet surfing. It could be an addiction to overeating, approval of others, or even technology. It's been said that we can be addicted to anything that provides our brains with the rewards they crave. You see, scientists have shown that our brains get a hit of dopamine, the chemical that is linked to happiness, when we hear our phones beep or when we hear our phones ring. That little sound says that we matter to somebody, that we are important, that we are needed. according to a 2016 study, 78% of teens check their phones at least hourly. And parents, we don't really get off the hook either, because 69% of us do that as well. 72% of teens feel they must respond immediately to texts and social networking messages. And again, as parents, 48% of us believe that as well. Are you addicted to your phone? Does it ever leave your side? When you go out to dinner, does your phone come out and lay it on the table? Is it always in your hand? See, even telephones can be an addiction. What about the giant of spending or prejudice or self-sufficiency or self-image or control? What about the giant of past disappointments and hurts? The giant of pornography or greed or lust? What about the giants of hurts, infidelity, apathy? What about the giant of debt? How many of us are so in debt that it feels like we will never, ever get ahead? That there's always more month left before our money runs out? Truth be told, we all have giants, big and small, that prevent us from living in the freedom and the abundance that God has for us. And so again, I want to ask you, what is the giant, or what are the giants, that are preventing you from experiencing the freedom that God wants you to experience and the abundant life that he promises us in Jesus Christ? We can look at the life of David, and we can learn so many lessons from David, both how to defeat the giants that come before us and how to deal with the discouragement and the disappointment that we face when we come before our giants. And so what I'd like to do this morning is to take just a few minutes to talk about what I think are four ways that we might be able to begin to defeat the giants in our lives. So what do we do? I think one of the most amazing ways that we can defeat the giants in our lives is through our memory, through remembering. Remembering how God has, in fact, helped us in the past. In 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 47, we read these words. David persisted. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." What we see in the life of David is a memory, remembering how God has in fact been faithful throughout his life. That it was God he gives credit for defeating the lions and the bears that would come and attack his sheep. And it's the same God who he is convinced will help him to defeat the giant that is before him and his people. You see, I believe that in remembering, it takes us back to re-experience and remember God's provision, how God has provided for us in the past. It helps us to remember the people that God has surrounded us with, people who have encouraged us when we're facing our giants, people who have rebuked us or corrected us when we have a giant that we really need to get out of our lives, through the ideas of open and closed doors that God wants us to go through. See, I think memory is one of the most powerful things that God has given us. And we see throughout Scripture the word remember over and over and over again. Because you see, if we fail to remember, then we set ourselves up for repeating the same kind of mistakes. And that's what we find all throughout the Old Testament. We see a people of God who, for one moment, they're faithful, and then they forget who God is, and they begin getting lax, and they begin falling into sin, and they get themselves into trouble. Then they cry out to God. They ask God to forgive them. They say, okay, we're going to set ourselves up for success again. And we see this repeated cycle over and over and over again. when in reality, if they would have remembered day in and day out who God is and what God has done in their lives, it would give them strength to face the giants that are coming before them. And so memory, the ability to remember who God is and what God has done, gives us the strength and the fortitude to be able to face the giants in our lives. I think a second tool, so to speak, that God has given us to face the giants in our lives is just that, to use the tools that God has given us. Use the things that God has already given us, that we don't have to look for something new, but to use what God has already given us. When David is talking to Saul to let him know that he is willing to go and face the giant, he stands before Saul, and Saul wants to give him his armor. Now, Saul was a tall guy. He was a muscular guy. He was a warrior. David was a little shepherd guy. And we read in verses 38 through 40 this dialogue. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. And then I love this line. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. You see, David recognized that he had everything that he needed already to face the giant in his life, that God had already given him a talent and a gift and an ability to take out the giant. And I think that's important for us to realize as well, is sometimes we acquiesce and we give in because we don't even tap into the things that God has already equipped us with. Talents, skills, gifts, networks of relationships and communities. There in the valley of Elah, David tapped into and used what God had already gifted him with the ability to do, to take a sling and a stone to take out his giant. And that's exactly what he did. So how do we face the giants in our lives? We remember how God has been faithful in the past. We remember what God has done. We use the tools that God has already given us to face those giants in our lives. And then 3, we ignore. We need to ignore the dream busters, the doubters, and the dissenting voices. One of my favorite sayings that I heard several years ago, and I think I say it enough now that I get to say, I often say, that when the voice of God speaks, there's always a dissenting voice. There's always another voice saying, you can't do that. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not powerful enough. And then the little 4-letter word, only. How often do we look at ourselves and we're like, well, I'm only, and we fill in the blank. See, we give other people in our lives way too much power. That often the people that surround us are the naysayers. They are the ones who keep us from being and experiencing all that God has for us. And we've got to be a people who ignore those voices. We've got to ignore the dream busters, the doubters, and the dissenting voices. David faced that in the valley of Elah. We read this in 1 Samuel 32 through 33. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David says to Saul. "I'll go fight him." And I love this. Saul, don't be ridiculous. There is no way that you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war ever since his youth. Now, if David would have listened to that dissenting voice, what would he have done? He would have head back to his flock. He would have walked away and just given in. But he didn't. In 1 Samuel 17, 41 through 44, it says, Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared to David. "That you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here," and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. You see, David learned a long time before that incident that he could find strength in the Lord his God. That David knew where his strength came from. David knew where his ability came from. David knew that his God was the God. And this was more than just a battle between the armies of the Philistines and the armies of the Israelites. This was a battle between his God and the gods of the Philistines. And David was absolutely confident that his God was the most powerful God and his God was going to come out victorious because he knew who his God was. Because he could trust in God's grace. He trusted in God's provision. And he trusted in the security and the power that his God provided. You know, every great movement in our world has begun with one person. How many great movements in our world, in our lifetime, have been swayed by somebody saying, you can't, or you're only? If David would have listened to Saul, to his brothers, to Goliath, he would have given in and given up. And his story would have never been recorded in the pages of Scripture. That we would never hear the story. We would never see God do an amazing thing. But David wasn't that guy. That in spite of all the voices that said to David, you can't do this. You're not tall enough. You're not powerful enough. You're not mighty enough. You are not a warrior. He stepped up and he stepped out. Because he was absolutely confident that his God could do exceedingly abundantly more than he could ask or imagine, and that his God was going to bring down this Philistine Goliath. And so one of the ways that we begin to walk in freedom and abundance is we learn to ignore the dissenting voices in our lives, the doubters and the dream busters. That if God has given us a great dream, a great vision, a great desire to do something, then we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews says. And we've got to run the race that is before us, because we will be victorious in Christ. And then number four, I think the fourth way that we begin to walk in freedom and abundance that God has for us, the ability that we have to face the giants, is that we expect God to help us for his glory. You see, our God wants us to lean into him. And we can expect, we can hope, that hope is a confident expectation that God is going to do something. And when we live in that kind of hope, when we live in that kind of expectancy, that God is going to do an amazing thing, that we're going to get to show off, so to speak, for our God, so that he gets to show himself to our world. And so, do we expect God to do things in our lives? Not from a place of privilege or not from a place of, well, he has to do that, but from a place that God wants to do that because God wants to use us so his glory will be made known to the world. In 1 Samuel 17:45 through 46, we read the continuing story. David replied to this Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, he says, the Lord will conquer you." Notice he doesn't say, "I will conquer you." He first gives glory to God. He says, "Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in heaven," by the way, way more powerful than yours. And so David did what he did because he trusted in the fact that what God said he could do, he could do. When God said, "I will empower you," he took that to heart and he believed God for his promises. You see, David knew something about himself in the eyes of God. He knew that he was God's treasure. He knew that he was God's masterpiece. He knew that he was a son of God. And those same words are for you and for me as well. Did you know that we are God's treasure? That God thought about us before we were even born? Do you know that you are God's masterpiece? That you are one of a kind, unique, unrepeatable miracle of God, fashioned by the very hands of God? That there are no accidents, that God created you on purpose and for a purpose. You are a masterpiece. There's no two of you anywhere, because we're originals. And that we are a son or we are a daughter of the King. And when we live in this place, knowing who we are, knowing whose we are, knowing the power that is with us, we have the ability to face those giants in our lives and have victory over them. And so I want to ask you again, what are the giants? Is there one? Are there multiple giants in your lives that are preventing you from experiencing the freedom that God has for you and experience the abundant life that God wants for you? Do you realize that God wants us to live in abundance? He says, I have come, Jesus has come, so that we might have life and have it abundantly. He doesn't want us to live in this place of fear and doubt and insecurity. He doesn't want us to live in this place where these giants have power over us, because the giant has already fallen. And through Christ, as we face the giants in our lives, we can have absolute defeat over them. One of the beautiful things about David is that he was a poet. And Psalm 23 is a psalm that talks about the confidence that he has in who his God is, in the certainty that he knows that God is always with him so that he can face those giants in his life, that he has the power to withstand the giants that come before him. And so this morning, I thought it might be really appropriate for us to look at this psalm that's for us. It's going to be on the screen, and I want to invite you to just follow along as we look at Psalm 23, where David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup runs overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." And so we have an invitation. The key to living free from our giants is not better slingshot accuracy, but keeping our eyes on the one and only giant slayer, Jesus. We are invited to put our hope and trust in him and then watch our giants fall. God says, I don't want you doing this on your own, but I want to do it for you. I want to do it with you. Because as Mary said, nothing is impossible with God. And so what is the giant that you're facing? What is the giant that needs to be conquered in your life that is preventing you from experiencing the freedom that God has for you and the abundant life that he wants for you? Was it on that list? Or is it something else? I want to encourage you that now is the time to begin to lay it down, to place it before God, who can do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or imagine, and allow him to give us victory over those giants in our lives. Many of us, for all too long, have been walking in a place of captivity. We've been moving in a place where we are being held down and we are being bound from experiencing the life that God has for us. And it all begins with one step: to admit that we're helpless and that we need God's intervention in that giant in our life. Whatever it is on that list or whatever else you have, that when we begin to invite God into that, and when we seek his face, when we read his word to determine his desire for our lives, then we will begin to experience not just life, but abundant life. That's his desire for you. And it's his desire for me that our giants must fall. Your giant must fall, because God has great things in store for you.